The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $359 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to Ice Time, the Buffalo News Hockey Podcast. I'm Lance Lysowski, the Sabres beat writer for the Buffalo News, joined as usual by our columnist, Mike Harrington. Mike, we don't have Sabres hockey really to talk about yet. Their game is going to be on Saturday night. We'll touch on that. But we'll talk about the national, I guess the international story in a lot of ways. The Four Nations face-off is finally over. I say finally, but it only lasted, what, 8 days?
Right.
Four teams, 8 days. We did not know. Nobody knew what to expect, despite what they may tell you. You know, it's all-star time of year, right? It's usually a glorified event that's great for the league's media rights, and a lot of players have fun with it. It was a phenomenal tournament. I think that Sweden and Finland's game was a bit overlooked because of the main event last Saturday night, but that was also just an incredible game. Mike, what are your final thoughts? Canada wins in overtime. Auston Matthews just completely loses coverage. Connor McDavid scores the game-winning goal to send Canada to the Four Nations Championship.
Well, I think I'm certainly guilty, like many, many people across the continent, of not thinking this was going to be a big deal. I wrote a column 10 days ago that said, should we care? Will we care? I think it's pretty obvious everybody cared by the time this thing ended. Some of that was, I think, some of the political overtones that unfortunately crept in here, which we don't need to get into in this forum. But needless to say, that was problematic in my eyes. And a lot of it was to the credit of the players for the way they played. And you and I both had separate conversations in the last month with Rasmus Dahlin about this tournament. And he essentially said the same thing to both of us, that we are going to play hard. And this is going to be a good tournament. It's not going to be an all-star game. And okay, I kind of in the back of my head rolled my eyes. And I learned from day one. And I think one of the most important things here was the first game, if you remember, was Canada and Sweden. And it looked like Canada was going to blow them out of the building in the first period. Sweden came back. It ends up going overtime, 6.5 minutes into overtime, where the Swedish coach didn't play Dahlin, by the way, and Canada wins on a Mitch Marner goal. And I think that game set an incredible tone for the entire tournament, that this was going to be for real. The Tkachuk brothers obviously set the tone for the U.S. This is going to be for real. By the time we got to the final, we knew we were heading for an epic game, a game we'll probably always remember. Certainly, overtime helps that. And we got to the end, and you got Canada and USA, like everybody, including ESPN, wanted. And they played a great game, and everybody went all out. And I was sitting here thinking, at the end of regulation, maybe it's time for number 97 to take the mantle from number 87 for Team Canada. And lo and behold, that's what happened, because you know, Auston Matthews kind of did his Jeff Skinner impression in the defensive zone and lost Connor McDavid in the slot in overtime. Great game, great tournament, did a lot for hockey, did a lot for the rights holders, brought a lot of exposure to league, brought a lot of exposure to individual players who maybe have not had some. And let's not forget this one point, Lance. A lot of exposure for Brady Tkachuk, captain of the Ottawa Senators. Matthews is a Stanley Cup champion. Matthews pretty much a star in the league. Let's not get a little overboard with Brady Tkachuk, okay? Had a great tournament. Has yet to ever play in a playoff game. And you and I both know the Sabres snicker about Brady Tkachuk all the time, how they can goad him into penalties, and they've just battered the Ottawa Senators in both of their meetings this year. Brady Tkachuk still has a lot to prove with the Ottawa Senators, like getting his team into the playoffs. They're in a spot right now. Let's simmer down in the Brady Tkachuk love here, people.
Every league needs its villain, though. Hey, I agree with you. We've seen it. He implodes whenever his team is down in a game and he realizes they're not going to be able to win, takes a dumb penalty. But you need villains in pro sports. Doesn't matter what league it is. He plays it very well. When was the last time you saw ESPN or all these national outlets? You checked their social feeds yesterday. They're all talking about that game. It was massive for growing the sport, because now you've got the Stanley Cup playoffs starting in less than 2 months. You should be getting more casual fans interested by them being introduced to that level of hockey because it was playoff quality. If you were a casual fan, I had buddies. I'm from Northeast Ohio. I was the only one in high school who liked hockey, who played hockey. So now to hear my buddies from high school texting me last night that they're all watching the game.
There you go.
You don't have that every day. And what did
Rasmus Dahlin say to us Friday?
Stephen A.
was talking hockey all day. And that's the kind of exposure this league can't buy. And he's right. ESPN was talking hockey on all their talk shows all day. They weren't talking LeBron. They weren't talking with Adam Schefter about the NFL. They were talking about Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews and the Tkachuk brothers. And the NHL can't buy that exposure. And that's the kind of thing, you're right, that can carry into the playoffs. Because now, if you didn't watch the Stanley Cup final last year and you live in Missouri, well, you watch this one, you know who Connor McDavid is now. And if the Edmonton Oilers are in the Stanley Cup final, you're going to be more likely to watch. So you just can't imagine what that did for the league. It was a great show.
Players have wanted this for a very long time. I remember talking to Jack Eichel before the COVID pause in 2020 about how badly he wanted to play for Team USA, and it took him that long to get that opportunity again. They pushed for it. They delivered on the biggest stage. And, Mike, this is only the beginning. We have the Winter Olympics next year. Then the World Cup of Hockey is coming back with 8 teams. So talking to Yuri Kulik in the Sabres locker room the other day, he's pumped.
The All-Star game is dead.
Yeah,
the All-Star game is dead, Lance. I don't know how they could do another All-Star game. You know, in the odd number of years, just go without.
You can't bring it back. And the World Cup of Hockey, it needs to be played in February. This is the perfect time in the calendar. The Super Bowl's passed. We're not in NFL draft free agency season yet. That's going to start this coming week with the NFL Combine. So it's a very dead time in the calendar. The NBA embarrassed itself with its All-Star weekend. The NHL rolled this out. Now imagine what it's going to look like, not only the Winter Olympics, but in the World Cup of Hockey, when you're probably going to have Russia involved. You're going to have Czechia. We'll see if Germany can piece together a big enough roster since they don't have as many NHL guys, but you're going to have the biggest, the best players. It's going to be much more of a best on best moving forward. So this was just the appetizer. They delivered, and it's going to be very fun every February to be able to watch this level of hockey. And yeah, it's great for the game. So, and this is, you know, TV contracts are going to be coming up. So when they go to negotiate with ESPN, how much more interested are ESPN and TNT? And they're going to get more money from it, which is going to impact the salary cap, which is going to impact player salary. This was a massive win across the board.
Don't wait months for new windows on your home. Express Windows can have them installed in just weeks with high-quality double-hung windows starting at only $359. Call Express Windows for a free at-home estimate or stop by our showroom on Delaware Avenue in Tonawanda.
And our second topic, Mike, I think is really worth discussing. Some of the rule changes that the NHL really experiment with in this tournament. And, yeah, of course, you got the extended 3-on-3 overtime, which was a ton of fun. But the 3-2-1 point system is something that this league needs to take a serious look at. Now, I know there's going to be pushback, especially from Bettman, because he wants as many teams in the race as possible. But by awarding 3 points for a regulation win, 2 for an overtime win, and 1 for an overtime loss, it's a lot more. You're rewarding teams for winning in regulation is much more difficult to do.
I've never agreed with Bettman on this point. Bettman always says if you go 3-2-1, you're going to have too many teams pull away. I look at it the other way. If you go 3-2-1, the teams that are out of it are still in it. The Buffalo Sabres, who are 12 points out of a playoff spot as we tape this, would still be in the thing in a 3-2-1 system, because they could go pushing for regulation wins. And realistically, if you think about it, it makes no sense that a regulation win counts the same as a shootout win.
Yep.
Now, you have some purists who also say, oh, it's gonna devalue history and the records of the Bruins and the Canadiens. We'll just have a separate category. 3-2-1 system. Here are the records. I think you would have teams play differently. You would have players play differently, especially in the second half of the season. They'd be taking a different approach to regulation. They wouldn't just be protecting the point in overtime at the end of the season. I think they should do it. I think there was a few problems with it in this kind of format in a short tournament. Sure. I think over 82 games would be fine. To me, that was the biggest takeaway. I like the 10-minute overtime. The players are a little uncertain about it. Maybe the compromise is 7. You do need to consider putting more of your third liners out there. If we extend it, you're going to extend your top players too much. But you got to think about overtime in the wake of Four Nations, and you got to think of 3-2-1 because I really think it's overdue.
The first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is excellent as it is, but imagine eliminating a team like the New York Islanders, who their strategy in so many games, Mike, is just to get to overtime. They park the bus, they can't score, so they're just trying to get that one point. And oftentimes, hey, to their credit, it either gets them to the playoffs or they're in the race late in the regular season. But
what happened to the Sabres 2 years ago? The Islanders had, I think, 17 or 18 loser points. That was the difference in who got in and who didn't.
It needs to be a major point of discussion in the next CBA talks or however. I understand the 3-on-3 overtime. I'm with you 7 minutes. I think 10. Like, imagine playing a back-to-back, right? In the middle of the
rear. Both teams go overtime.
Exactly. And at the tail end of a long road trip, and I get it, there's some short-term reward for the viewer. It's going to be entertaining, but it's going to really take its toll on players over the course of a season, just given how many games go to OT. I still think you can get a lot more out of even 2 minutes. It's going to make a world of difference to really improving the quality of the game. And topic three, Mike, Tage Thompson, he was in TD Garden sitting behind Charlie McAvoy watching Team USA lose in overtime to Canada. Thompson didn't get to play. He and Brett Pesce were last minute invites to be potential injury and illness replacements. They couldn't even participate in the morning skate unless somebody was hurt, unless somebody was ill. Their opportunity didn't come, but hey, Tage Thompson talked to the media after practice on Friday, expressed how exciting it was to be in that building. It was one thing to watch on TV from afar, but to be there, and this is somebody, Mike, you can make a very strong argument. He should have been on the team in the first place. And
well, I think it really, he even said it motivates him even more to make that Olympic team next year. But let's talk about Tage Thompson in terms of the selection process of USA Hockey and Bill Guerin of Minnesota, the GM, with old friend Chris Drury, the assistant GM. They needed to pick an all-star team. They tried to pick a team as if they were playing an 80-game season. Let's have third liners and fourth liners. To me, you need to be picking the best players you can get. Not Vincent Trocheck, not Brock Nelson, not Chris Kreider, maybe not even Matthew Boldy, who had a good tournament. But you need to have players adjust their roles. You need to have guys like Tage Thompson, like Cole Caulfield, like Clayton Keller, because look at the job Dylan Larkin did. Dylan Larkin is the Detroit Red Wings' top guy, their captain. He wasn't on any power plays. He was essentially a fourth liner. He scored the winning goal against Canada in the first meeting. That's the kind of role a guy like Tage Thompson, a guy like Alex Tuck, who can score, can kill penalties, can do things, can get here. But instead, let's go with all these Rangers because Drury's in the selection committee. Let's go with Matthew Boldy. And I get it. I get it. One of the things is it's a lack of respect for Kevin Adams and Terry Pegula and the Buffalo Sabres. They haven't won anything. They're a bunch of losers. Why would I put them on the team? So let's pick Chris Kreider and Brock Nelson and all these guys. And it didn't work. Because why didn't it work, Lance? Two guys were hurt. The Tkachuks were both kind of iffy. Matthew couldn't play at all.
You needed those guys to play bigger roles.
Mike Sullivan obviously didn't like Kreider, benched him. They were going to 8 or 9 forwards by the end of the game. It was ridiculous. The Team USA could have had a whole fourth line of Keller, Larkin, Thompson, Caulfield. So they need to completely rethink this when they pick the Olympic team because the way they picked this team was just silly. And some of the guys on this team – a best on best, you really think Vincent Trocheck and Brock Nelson belong on this team? Are you kidding me? It was obvious what was going on here.
There was a narrative around Tage Thompson that there was too much inconsistency in his game as well to merit a spot on that roster. All it would have taken for a scout or a general manager of Team USA to make a few phone calls and understand this guy's playing through injury. Okay. Right. There is a reason why he's not scoring every game, that the production's not there. Look at the team that he's on. Look at the environment that we're talking about here. Look at the power play, the way the issues that it's had in Buffalo and how that's
and
contributed
the most
to
goals.
His lack of production. Exactly. He's still
he
scoring more than
anybody
almost anybody.
Left off.
Exactly. So, but it is going to it's going to be on Tage Thompson to address some of those criticisms, whether it's making sure that he's able to stay healthy, making sure that he gets back to playing center, because if you can play center and win faceoffs a little bit more often than 41%, the versatility is going to help you get on that team as well. So there's going to be an opportunity here, the second half of this season, the first half of next season, for Tage Thompson to prove to Bill Guerin, Chris Drury, and everybody else in the selection process that they got it wrong. A lot of us on the outside know they got it wrong. Not only with Tage Thompson, you mentioned the other two names, Cole Caulfield and Clayton Keller. Those are three guys that should have been on that team. And I understand. And this is Bill Guerin. Think about the type of player he was in his career, the way that he's built his team in Minnesota, roles, grit. It didn't translate to this. I don't see it translating to the Olympics on the bigger sheet of ice.
Can you wake me up when Bill Guerin's roles are over? How much has Minnesota won in the playoffs? Precisely. You still got to have players. Just put your best players out there. Let them develop. Let them become more 200-foot players. Let Thompson do in the tournament what Larkin did in this one. To say that guys can't do it, they can do it. That's why they're top players in the league. But we have to watch some of these plugs that they put out there. I just thought the U.S. selection process before the tournament ever started, I said it was slot. I wasn't a big fan of some of Canada's choices either, but just ridiculous to me. I was a little too much of, well, Canada's got Cirelli in point because they got Cooper's guys, and the U.S. is all the Rangers because Drury's in the selection committee. I thought that youth hockey garbage should have gone out the window here. How did that youth hockey political garbage end up in Team USA and Team Canada for the NHL Four Nations tournament? I thought it was really bizarre.
It happens at the junior level all the time. You look at the players that are left off of their national teams for arbitrary reasons. Matt Savoy wasn't picked to Team Canada because Hockey Canada was upset that he played in the USHL and wanted to leave for the USHL when he was even younger. Quentin Musty, Hamburg's own, should have been on Team USA a few different times, but he didn't go and play at the national program. He chose the Ontario Hockey League. This is the type of nonsense that goes on at these governing bodies in international hockey. And the NHL, especially for their specific events, Four Nations, World Cup of Hockey, if you're Gary Bettman, or it might be Bill Daly by the time we get to 2028, you got to tell these guys, pick the best players. Okay. Right. Like
the other thing they screwed up, Lance, was, and they realized it as the tournament went on, the players wanted a 25-man roster. The league and the PA wanted a 25-man roster. The league did not, because these players all got paid. They all got appearance fees, and the league wanted to cut the corner there. So that's why they didn't have a 25-man roster. So all of a sudden, you start getting injuries and whatever norovirus was going through these teams. They were all getting sick. All of a sudden, teams are short. And now you're calling Thomas Harley for Canada. You're calling Tage Thompson. Can we replace him? Can we not replace him? Is Quinn Hughes getting on the plane? If you had 25-man roster, this wouldn't have been an issue. Tage Thompson, Brett Pesce, they would have been there the whole time.
And you know it'll be a 25-man roster for the World Cup of Hockey. Because
absolutely.
Gary Bettman made a point to tell reporters at the start of this tournament that we're not making very much money off of this. It's marginal compared to what you may think it would be. Well, in hindsight, sounds like a ridiculous comment. They made a lot of money off of this, not only in the short term, but long term. So you can't use that as a valid excuse next time. And if you want to really ensure competitive balance and eliminate all these people snickering at, oh, you're going to let this guy play for Hockey Canada, right? Oh, you're going to let this guy play for the U.S. What about Sweden or Finland? You can eliminate that by just having expanded rosters and being willing to pay these guys to be there. I really thought, just to prolong this discussion a little longer, because I thought it was interesting hearing Rasmus Dahlin's comments. He was still mad. he was still bitter. Like, he thought that as much as he said, we didn't come up in the big moments. Like, I mean, with the point system and everything, they lost twice in overtime. They beat the U.S. Like, they had a good tournament. And he wanted the opportunity to be in that big game.
He was not happy at all when I asked him about not getting on the ice in overtime the first game against Canada. Over 6 minutes of overtime, they don't use Dahlin at all. They kept running Hedman out there, who is ground chuck at this point at times, that part of the game especially, and he's in his mid-30s. And they run Erik Karlsson out there for two shifts, one of which he ends up in his goalie's lap as Marner's scoring the winning goal. Erik Karlsson is so overrated and just so shot at this point. But Sweden keeps running him out there, and you had Rasmus Dahlin, who's one of the best 3-on-3 players there is, sitting on the bench for 6.5 minutes. Another, he's from Buffalo thing. So that's another lesson. The Sabres want to get some more respect in international hockey, and they have players worthy of it. They just can't be in last place. Everything goes back to don't be in last place, Sabres, and it's another example.
And consistency. With Dahlin, the power play, the Sabres power play hasn't been very good. And if you only caught in these scouts for these for this tournament in particular, they only saw certain games.
They didn't see overtime. They wouldn't see how Dahlin dominates it.
They only see certain games. They see certain moments. They hone in on certain. He made that play in that situation. They don't look at the entire body of work, and that's one of the issues here. And for Dahlin, just like Thompson, there's a real strong motivation for these guys to prove these people wrong, whether it's how they were used, if they weren't used at all. And that goes for Ugo Pekka-Luukkonen. He didn't get the play in that tournament, even though Kevin Lankinen stunk, and UC Saro stunk too. To both of Finland's goalies they used were terrible, in my opinion. I didn't think either of them were very good.
But Saros got the initial start as a career award, which was dumb.
Yeah.
First of all, Kevin Lankinen should have been Finland's starting goalie based on how this season has gone in Vancouver. But then he wasn't that great either. So there was a chance right here, right now, for Luukkonen to have been Finland's starting goalie had he been much better in Buffalo this season than he's been. So these guys, they understand that they're playing for the Sabres and they're playing in the NHL, but they're being watched by all their national federations for World Cups, Olympics, and it matters what they do in Buffalo. It matters when they play on a team that loses 13 games in a row. It impacts the entire viewpoint of every player on the franchise for these other tournaments. And you're right, Luukkonen, I didn't really think about that until you just mentioned it. Luukkonen absolutely had a chance to be the starting goalie of Finland this year. Those two guys weren't very good. Saros has been terrible all season. Finland didn't have that many goalies. Lankinen's been a lot better, but he didn't play well in this tournament either. And it's a lost opportunity. Luukkonen benefits and talked about how he benefited from being there, but he could have certainly been playing too if he had been better during the season.
And don't forget, Luukkonen led them to the gold medal at World Juniors back in 2019.
Right.
I mean, he is widely respected in that country. Finland's Hockey Federation, all their leaders were in Czechia to see the Sabres season opening games for Luukkonen and Jokke Haru. The expectation, well, this guy was going to push for starts, but you're right. I mean, when the inconsistency, what's going on in Buffalo, it's used against you. And that's got to be a motivator for these guys. If you want your own individual circumstances to change, you got to be difference makers in Buffalo and make sure that the Sabres, you know, make that push and achieve what they. Getting out of last place would be a start, Mike. That is a perfect segue to our last topic. They practiced 3 days this week leading into this first game post break. They're playing the New York Rangers on Saturday night. Lindy Ruff's message was, "This is your playoffs. If you want to dig yourself out of this hole, this is the time to do it." And he framed it as that they need 7 standing points in every 5 games. Is that a realistic goal, Mike? Because in Lindy's opinion, if they're able to get those 7 points every 5 games, and there's 28 games remaining, that they're going to give themselves a chance to at least be in the race the final week of the regular season.
Lindy. I get it. Yeah. I get what he was doing. You've got to play for something. I've sat here and said to myself, what are they going to play for in these last 28 games? Everybody's within 6 points in the Eastern Conference as we start play. Everybody's within 6 points of the playoffs, except the Buffalo Sabres, who start 12 points out. Lindy's just trying to give them something to grab onto. They did go 4-1 in the last 5 games before the break. Can they go 3-1-1 or 4-1 in each 5-game segment? Would that get them back in? Sure, it would get them close. But do you really expect the Buffalo Sabres to win 18 to 20 of their last 28 games? You know, a team that's not playing 500 hockey, now you're suddenly going to play 650 to 700 hockey? Now, I know they are 4-1 in the last 5. They're 5-3 in the last 8. They're 11-8-1 in the last 20. I get it. He's trying to play for something, but, you know, he's doing a little standings gymnastics to get his guys to pay attention. And practice has been good this week, which, you know, people who watch this after the fact, maybe the Ranger game will be a dud. And I'll say, oh, practice was really good. They're not in it until what?
They need
you win 8 in a row?
At least.
8, 9, 10 in a row?
And you need help. They put themselves in a position. You need help across the.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you get help or not. You first got to win 8, 9, 10 in a row. They're 4-1 in the last 5. Okay, can they come out of the break and win 5 in a row? you know, that'd be 9-1. Of course, one of the games at Carolina, where they haven't won in 9 years. You know, I don't know. You know, I'll get interested when suddenly they play a 10-game stretch and go 8-1-1 or 9-1, you know, and start passing some of these teams, because they do have a lot of games in hand on Montreal, Philly, some of the teams ahead of them. But, you know, I don't worry about passing 8 teams. I've got to pass 1 or 2 teams first and just keep moving up. But, you know, win 8 or 9 in a row and talk to me again. Otherwise, I think Lindy's just, you know, he's doing what a coach has to do in this spot, because he never imagined in a million years they'd be 12 points out and buried like they are.
There are 3 roadblocks to them achieving that longer win streak that they're going to need. Their special teams aren't good enough. Their power play needs to start scoring. Their penalty kill can't be as leaky as it is. And part of that's goaltending. And goaltending is one of the other ones I was going to say. It's too inconsistent. Like, and part of that is an offshoot of the third, which is team defense. Lukanen has been playing in behind such a really lackluster 5-on-5 team defense, whether it's turnovers or terrible coverage, that he's reverted back to some of the terrible habits that we saw during the first half of last season, even prior to that. He's swimming out of his crease too much. He's dropping down what he doesn't need to. He's not stopping unscreened shots. You know, team defense, goaltending, special teams. Those are 3 very big areas that you need to fix, Mike, in order to get this going in the right direction. The power play has shown no signs of being able to sustain any sort of success. They've had 3 just dreadful stretches this year, and they're coming out. They're in one right now to where I just don't see that improving, because it's been 2 years since their power play has looked even competent in any, you know, for more than a couple weeks at a time. Their team defense, I mean, Lindy Ruff drilled them on team defense throughout practice this week, but they aren't repeating those habits in games. Look at that game in Nashville right before the break. Yes. They were awful. They were just turning the puck over in the neutral zone every time they crossed the red line. They weren't getting back in their own zone. Their tracking was dreadful. Like, the habits of this team are just, it wavers too much. And it's not just young guys either. Yeah.
The stats stun me when you say to somebody, do you know the Buffalo Sabres have the same number of 5-on-5 goals as the Edmonton Oilers and the Tampa Bay Lightning? No one would believe you.
And it's not easy to score 5-on-5 in this league, and they're doing it.
But they don't defend at all.
No.
They have the goaltending's been leaky. Their awareness in the defensive zone is bad. Yeah, they don't clear the front, and that they have too many guys doing their Austin Matthews overtime goal impression and not guarding the slot. I don't know where Matthews was going on the McDavid play. You might want to stay with McDavid. But the Sabres do that a lot. Guys cut down the middle wide open. So until they figure out their defensive schemes and their defensive coverages and their defensive intensity, it's going to be a hard problem, because the goalies haven't bailed them out enough, and it does mitigate the offense, and the offense is really hindered by the terrible power play.
And another layer to this is the trade deadline. It's possible they're going to lose Jason Zucker in a couple weeks. They may lose Jordan Greenway in a couple of weeks. We don't know what Kevin Adams is going to do before the March 7th trade deadline. Remember last year, yes, he traded for Casey Mittelstadt for Bowen Byram. Long-term, a victory in my eyes for Buffalo. They did well in that deal. But in the short term, Mike, it made them worse. You had a young defenseman who had to adjust to a new system, and eventually Byram's game sort of kind of went downhill as the coaching staff pushed him to play their systems. Wasn't really a system with the way that
what
team
system defended. Was it?
That's why I put it in air quotes. And you lost one of your better forwards. I know that Kevin Adams he's been on the record. He's trying to make a similar type of hockey trade, but you might have a short-term loss in who you're bringing in, who you're sending out. So that is another layer that we don't know. And it's going to, your roster may change for the worse here in the next couple of weeks, which we don't know. Are they going to bring up somebody from Rochester? How's Lindy Ruff going to approach that power play? So, yes, it is very difficult to envision this team picking itself off the mat and actually making this interesting. Although, you mentioned a few of those teams in the Eastern Conference, and they stink.
They're not good, Mike.
Philly's not good. Ottawa's not good, in my opinion. I think they're going to come down to earth, especially Brady Tkachuk's banged up.
There's only
Montreal.
One
Pittsburgh stinks.
Right. But none of them had a 13-game losing streak. Yep. Sabres had a good run before that streak, and they're on a pretty good run after that streak, but they lost 13 games in a row. That is a canyon you cannot climb out of in the NHL. It's too long a run. They couldn't overcome Dahlin's injury. They didn't make any moves. That's why they're where they are. they're a better team than Philadelphia. I think they're a better team than Montreal. I think they might be a better team than Pittsburgh. I think they might be a better team than the Islanders. But they're not going to get there because that one stretch ruins the entire season.
A massive what if. If Dahlin were healthy during the 13-game winless streak.
They lost nine without him.
Yep.
They're not going to lose nine without him. If he's in those nine games, they're not losing all nine of those.
Such an underappreciated player, both locally and nationally, in my opinion.
One of the top 10 defensemen in the world.
Yeah. I'm sure some fans who are frustrated are going to snicker at that, but it's a fact. You look at the defensive metrics, the situations he's put in. Yeah. Yes, he needs to be better on the power play, without a doubt. He puts himself into some very precarious situations by trying to do too much at times, but he is the face, or he should be the face of this franchise. Everybody would want that guy on their team. And I saw that some people were commenting, if you could go back, would you pick Brady Tkachuk first overall instead of Rasmus Dahlin?
No.
Makes you shake your head, doesn't it?
You need to pick Quinn Hughes.
Yeah.
Not Brady Tkachuk, but no, Rasmus Dahlin, if you redo that draft, is probably the number two pick instead of the number one pick.
I'd still pick him, but not
behind Brady Tkachuk. Let's get real.
Well, Mike, 28 games left. It's going to despite where they're at in the standings, this is going to be a very interesting 2 months. What are they going to do at the deadline? Right. How do some of these young guys play the rest of the season with the expectations? Is Yuri Kulik stay the number one center? Are we going to start to see Owen Power really take that next step, not only in terms of defending, but making more of an impact on the power play? It's going to be an interesting one, but thank you all again for tuning in. He's Mike Harrington. I'm Lance Lysowski. We'll see you guys again next week. Take care.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at expresswindowsinc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.